Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you for letting your, again, thank you for praying and letting your, and those of you who let your young people go. It was some funny things. I had a little part in what was going on. And so it was about, like I said, 400 plus folks there, 395 teenagers and also. Anyway, I was trying to say a little few things and try and keep their attention. And so it's 9:20 in the morning, something like that. So they're about half awake, and they'd been up half the night, at least ours had. And so they were there. And so I just talked about the first time I ever knew that there was a Cinnabon. How many of you know what a Cinnabon is? That place at the mall or the stores, you know, where they you can get hot cinnamon rolls, and you know now you can get the middles, and you get them with the pecans and all this kind of stuff on. And so I was talking about that, you know, I never seen one until I was an adult and all this kind of deal, and I just went on about it. And anyway, and so I didn't think anything about it. I was just being silly. And so all afternoon, every time I'd see somebody, we were out in Pigeon Forge proper. I'd see somebody where we are, and they'd walk up to me and say. You were talking about it, and I went and got a cinnamon roll. And I thought that was a little odd. Then I saw somebody else. I saw somebody older. I saw somebody younger. Then we got back to the hotel going into the conference. I had people coming up to me and said, the way you talked about the cinnamon rolls, we went and got a dozen. And people at the pizza place, we went to one of these pizza places that had dessert, and they went and got the cinnamon roll pizza. And then I had people, as I was leaving this morning, I was grabbing a cup of coffee from the Continental Breakfast, and he walked up to me and said, it's too bad they don't have cinnamon rolls. And also, apparently, if I preach the Bible, nobody listens. Because I said a lot more than that. But if I talk to you about food, apparently I can communicate real well. So I'm going to go on the cooking channel. Because I had dozens and dozens of people saying, and I didn't think I even said much about it. But anyway, so whatever that means, apparently my talent doesn't lie in communicating scripture, but I can make stuff sound pretty good. Anyhow, some of you are like, now, why'd you do that? All I can think about now is cinnamon rolls. I'm sorry. So Psalm 27, I want to talk to you about the warrior way this morning, the warrior way in honor, not only in conjunction with Veterans Day, but I want to help us and encourage us this morning. Psalm 27, we've been sitting just a moment. Would you stand one more time as we pay honor to God's Word? Read the whole passage, Psalm 27. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll open it. You can look on the screen. If you want to share with someone around you, look on a copy of God's Word. Verse 1, the Bible says, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Those verses are easier to read than they are to act upon. Because the reality is, we got lots of stuff we're afraid of, and we got a few people we're afraid of. And the question, whom shall I be afraid, the list is probably longer than we want to admit. Nod your head if you got a list of things that give you pause. It's longer than a list of things that encourage you. Verse 2, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, in this will I be confident. I'm not interested in anything in verse 2 or anything in verse 3. I'm not interested in a whole bunch of people coming up against me, and I'm not interested in a bunch of people who want to see me dead. He says, I will not be afraid. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, and I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. If you underline, highlight in your tablets, your Bible programs, your Bibles, that is a great verse to learn, to memorize, to go back and visit. This is what I want. I want to be near the Lord. From the time of trouble, He'll hide me in His pavilion. The secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. When my feet are shaky, He will put me in a place of absolute foundation. 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. I will sing praises to the Lord. When I have the right view of God, my circumstances do not dictate the outpouring of my heart. Instead, they force the outpouring of my heart. The view of God ought to lift us up regardless of what's going on in our life. And I would suggest to us, in spite of what's going on in our life. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. when you said, seek my face, my heart said, your face, Lord, I will I seek. Hide not your face from me, put not your servant away in anger. You've been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, is there any more cruel betrayal than family betrayal? Is there any more cruel betrayal than a spouse, a life partner, saying, I don't want anything to do with you anymore? When those I have let closest to me forsake me, then the Lord will what? You can come be with me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty. He goes from family to close friends and for relationships. When those around me start attacking, I had fainted, lest I'd believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What is the warrior way? I think David here, the veteran, lays it out for us. I want to help you this morning. Father, help us right now. I pray in Jesus' name. Speak to every heart, front to back, side to side. Help those who are watching online, who will watch later. I pray that you get all the credit, the honor, and the glory. I pray you'd speak to us. I pray that you'd encourage us, help the young people. I know they're a little weary. May they wake up, perk up. May they listen on purpose and attention. Lord, you've poured much in their lives. I pray they would not dissipate it with a bunch of TV and games. I pray instead they'd focus. I pray for us as adults that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray you'd help us to hear the word and understand it. Use me, I pray, Spirit of God, and fill me, I ask. I pray that I'd preach your word with power and with authority. I pray in all this, Lord, that you right now would get credit for anything that's done. We love you. Draw people to yourself, I ask and pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. One of the more memorable things at any military funeral, typically, whether it's a small contingent or whether it's a larger one like was present with Mr. Adams, is the folding of the flag. Typically, the flag is draped across the coffin, the field of blue down at the end, nearest the head. And they would take it. It's typically a three-man operation. Depending on the size, it can be done with two. But this past Friday, I saw something I don't think I'd ever seen before. Not in any good recent memory. And the men began to fold it. These were active servicemen, active Navy personnel. And so as they began to fold up the flag, I thought they had kind of missed a starting point. The end goal is to end it with a certain look as it's folded up into that tri-cornered bundle. And I thought, well, maybe I just missed it, and I didn't think much about it. And as they were going, I could see the look on one of the men's face, and he was kind of, eh. And they got done, they folded it, and they presented it to the man who had been at the other end. And then he, in turn, saluted and turned and handed it to the other officer who in turn saluted. And at that point, usually it's a pretty seamless process. Goes something like this. He will take it. He will go in front of the widow or widower or the family surviving member and say something to the effect on behalf of the President of the United States, grateful country, and then whatever branch of service that they were in. We offer our sincere condolences and thank you for the service of your family member. They are a hero. They will stand, they'll salute the widow, the family member, and any other family members in particular, if that is appropriate. They will spin on the heel and they will go and remain standing at attention back at the head of the casket. At this point, they didn't do that. Something had happened in the folding of the flag. And they tried very discreetly to untuck it, to retuck it, to fold it, trying not to let their face happen. But I was watching them, and I was watching the senior man in charge. He was unhappy. And they presented the flag. We prayed. I greeted the family. They began to maneuver down. What people weren't seeing, what I was paying attention to as well, is that they were about to refold that flag. And the two men with the whitest hair took the flag themselves, refolded it, said something to the two guys who had folded it, which I'm sure wasn't exactly pleasant, And then they walked down the grassy, wet hill there at Oak Ridge Memorial Cemetery and stopped Miss Adams before she got in the car. And the senior man, who'd been retired many years, saluted Miss Adams and said, "We apologize. What we did was not the Navy way, folding a flag. It should have been," and he talked about the field, "should have been this way, should have been tucked under, should have been reversed this way, in the corners." And he recited the pledge that every sailor would make to each other and said, "We guarantee you that we have given him a good lesson and he'll learn that and he'll never do that to another surviving family member again." And she was saying, "It's okay." He says, no, it's not our way. It's not our way. This is how we do it." He saluted her, recited again. The men stood at attention, and there on the outside of the car before they were to depart, they gave her the flag again. And I was just there, and I got chill bumps running all over me, because what nobody but them paid attention to. Nod your head if you understand it. It's sorrowful time getting in the car. It's pouring down rain. It's whatever degrees it was outside. We're all trying to walk down the hill and not slip and fall in the mud. And they're worried because this matters to them. Look at me help you. And it mattered to the veteran to make sure that the guy with the white hair, the guy with the black hair, this is how we do things. It's important how we do things. It's important you learn from me. It's important to this widow that we do this correctly. It's important that you get that, because in life, the details are going to matter. In life, passing on the lessons are matter. And so if we're going to learn about living, if we're going to learn about how to handle things, if we're going to learn, let me help you. If we're going to learn how to be a warrior, by the way, anybody figure out you're in a fight in a battle? Maybe sometimes the fight in the battle is the person in the mirror. Anybody have trouble with the person in the mirror? Doing what they're supposed to, saying what they're supposed to, acting how they're supposed to. Anybody have trouble with the person that lives in your house sometimes, driving you to where you want to, you know. You might not say it, but if somebody would write it, you'd sign it. And you're just kind of this way. Anybody, your kids or your grandkids make you want to go, "Man alive, I need something from Cinnabon." Anybody feel that way anytime soon? How about coworkers? You got any coworkers? You got any extended family? If we're not real careful, we miss the fact sometimes that there is a war for our souls. There's a war for our behavior. There's a war for our children. And I need some help. I need some help from people who've gone through it. I want to know how to handle it. We got one at home, got one in college. I want to finish my race well. Jury's still out on my family. I'd love to celebrate 23 years of marriage. We're 22 now. I'd love to celebrate 25. The Lord give us. I want to do well. I want to finish well. Look here. I want to give you three ideas here that I think will be a great help to you. If I'm gonna learn from David. Number one, focus. Focus. The Bible says, focus on God and not your fear. Look at verse 1. Focus on God, not your fear. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Watch the battle. The battle is fear. The battle is fear. Anybody in here got anything you're afraid of? Just one of you? How many of you are scared of raising your hand, apparently? That'd be a lot of you. You ever make decisions, don't make decisions, don't do things simply because you're afraid? Now, I got my hand way up. I'm an analyzer. See what could happen. See, man, I am slow to something. I'm fast on others, but I mean, I want to do. If I'm not real careful, analysis paralysis will come in, and man, I am just terrified there. I know folks, man, never got married. They just couldn't get past their fear. And I know folks, man, they won't be generous because they can't get past their fear that I won't be able to make it on 90%. And again, part of that reason is because they're spending everything and then a little bit more, and so they're overextended already. And fear will keep us from so many things. Fear will keep us on the outside looking in. And David said, "I am what? I am focused on God. I'm focused on God." I've got a little book of illustrations. I read the little story about Chippy the parakeet. It's an old story. Anybody ever heard of Chippy the parakeet? A few of you, Andre, has heard me tell this story. I like it. I found it this past week. Chippy's a parakeet. Chippy's owner was cleaning one day and was vacuuming and had the hose off. He was vacuuming around and was getting ready to vacuum out Chippy's cage there. And about that time, the phone rang. When she went to answer the phone, she wasn't paying attention, and she turned the vacuum up like that near where Chippy was perched at. And all of a sudden, and Chippy sucked up inside the vacuum cleaner. The lady finished her conversation. No, she didn't do that. And the lady said, excuse me, and hung up real quick. And it was one of those bag systems and all. If it had been one of the new turbine ones, Chippy would have never made it, right? And so she rips open the bag, and there, lo and behold, is Chippy inside of there. And so the lady panics and grabs Chippy and throws Chippy under the faucet in the sink there. Does that and sees that Chippy's shivering now. So grabs Chippy and takes her to the bathroom and hits her with the hairdryer. All this in about 3 minutes. Lady called back about a half hour later, or a few days later, said, whatever happened to your bird? Whatever happened to Chippy? Lady said, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. How many of you think if you got sucked up and blow-dried off and on by 5 minutes, that sounds like a bad time? You ever feel that way? You ever feel like your day and your week just turned into one long Chippy episode and everything just going crazy and sideways? And if you're not real careful, it'll do what? It'll take every bit of song out of your life. Take every bit of song out of your life. I talked to a fellow yesterday. Boy, I'd love for you to pray for him. He'd been lied about. He'd been cheated about. His livelihood's been threatened. He's found out he's got to have surgery. It's going to put him out of commission for months at a time. And he's been hurt so bad he's scared to trust people again. He said all this happened in the last 4 weeks. He got Chippy going on right now. I got news for you. I don't know if he's coming into the sink or he's about to hit the blow dry. I'm not real sure. And the song just about gone out of his life. Focus on God and not my fear, not my fear. Don't be like him. Verse 2 and 3, when the wicked, even my enemies, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. The host camp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. I need confidence. I need confidence, not in my ability, but in God's ability. They talk about the psychological warfare. They play those songs. When we were at the UT football game, they constantly played things to constantly do what? To constantly tell people. Tell people, you know, this is our stadium. This is us. This is when they kept showing the -3 yards on the screen, I kept getting nervous because I was like, this is not psychological warfare because it's making me feel bad. They need to put some other thing up there. And they were showing off and they were doing all this to tell the other team, man, you're not coming to our place and getting a victory. I like to kind of, in the psychological warfare, if we're not real careful, we'll think everybody's living for the devil. We'll think that everybody's against us and nobody cares anything about Jesus. And we'll think that everything is always wrong and woe is me. If we're not real careful, we will focus on the things that we cannot handle and we'll focus on fear instead of looking at God himself. Let me give you a little exercise. Those of you on the tablets and things, Just find a devotional plan about the attributes of God or study the promises of God. Focus on him. Focus on him. God is greater than my fear. Those of you who grew up watching VeggieTales and your children, God is bigger than the boogeyman, if you'll allow that. God is bigger. And you say, preacher, who are you preaching? I'm preaching to me and I'm preaching to you because we get to understand that. David said, listen, I've been through all that. It looked awful. Focus on God. How many of you think God can handle it? Would you say amen? He can handle anything and everything in your life. Look at number two. Look at the second idea there. Second idea. Practice fellowship with God. Constant, consistent fellowship. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. I had a professor years ago in college. He said, most people treat God like a spare tire. He's only good for emergencies. They don't want him. They don't need him. But when problem, trouble, headache, family issue, something terrifying, then they'll go pop the trunk, and they want God then. But they're, as soon as everything goes back to normal, they're taking the spare off, putting it back in the trunk. I didn't catch in the time 26 years later, 27 years later. I think he's absolutely right. That's the way most people want. They want church when they need it. They want God when they need it. They want something here. That's not the perspective here. And by the way, trouble can drive us to God. That's a blessing, isn't it? When God uses things in our life to drive us to him. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about coming and going. See, the enemy says what? The enemy says the only time you need to pay attention to God is in the midst of a battle. In the midst of the battle. I gave you this quote if you want to write it down. One of the greatest mistakes you make in spiritual warfare is to wait to train for battle in the midst of the battle. You practice shooting on the range. You don't practice in the middle of a battle. You learn to march so you can stay together when they're shooting at you and when there's artillery going off overhead. You practice then. You practice. Colonel Tyker, you've heard us talk about him. He shot the video a few years ago and gave a greetings and all, and he's in charge of the Edwards Air Force Base out in California. And anyway, our dear brother, he says they practice bombing all these stadiums, and they practice bombing all these little league fields. And they do it at night, and they do it in the rain, they do it in the snow, they do it in all kinds of weather. They practice refueling because they don't want to practice when somebody else is shooting back at them. I think theology, by the way. You practice now. I want to be in God's house. Let me help you. Some of you wonder why I stay whooped and defeated all the time. It's because you have no fellowship. You have no fellowship with God. I've seen young people, man, they come to camp and they come to conference. They don't come the rest of the year, and they wonder why they're absolutely doing nothing for the cause of Christ, and they wonder why they have no spiritual power in their lives, all a mess. I got news for you. You need to practice consistent fellowship with him. Let me go one way further. If the only time you ever take in anything spiritually is in these four walls, you got to be spiritually anemic and starving. Now, I need to be with God throughout the day and throughout the week. The time to train is before the battle begins. See, you're whooping up on me this morning. I'm not. I'm trying to tell you, the devil sold you a bill of goods that you can drive through church like a car wash and everything will be okay. I'm trying to tell you, just like breakfast, lunch, and supper, just like morning, noon, and night, just like early to rise and early to bed, that there are spiritual habits and discipline. There's a passion of your life that ought to be present there and have consistent fellowship with God. Andrea and I, yesterday, we sat down for a second or two, and I looked at her and I said, I'll see you Monday morning. Got the kids, got the teens, got a full day Sunday, got stuff going on. I got a few appointments Sunday afternoon I got to do. And she's like, we're not going to keep doing this. I said, no, we'll slow down shortly. We need to see each other, need to be together. Nod your head if you're married, almost married, wish you were married. You understand that. Well, it's family, friends, and I can't wait to be with you, sit down. I can't wait to eat something that doesn't come out of a wrapper. And having somebody say amen to that. Time to train is before the battle begins. Say, I'm not living for God like I want to. Let me ask you, how's your quiet time with the Lord? How's your quiet time? Say, I've never started. Or I started and I stopped. Let me encourage you. We've got things out there on the bookstand. I'd give them to you if that'd help you start. If you come here on Sunday nights and all for our life group time with our men and our women, and we can encourage you about those kind of things. He says, I may dwell in the house of the Lord, verse 4. I may dwell in the tabernacle, verse 5. Verse 6, he talks about the tabernacle. I will offer the sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. One of the great privileges we get to do here is we get to come together and we lift our voices to God. Feel better when you sing with other believers. I mean, it just something different about that. You can come and you don't maybe forget the troubles of life, but you come for a few moments and you practice for heaven. You come for a few moments and you focus on a holy God. I can't wait to be God. I'm convinced, people, you got to make come to church and drag to church and all those things. There is a spiritual disconnect, short circuit somewhere, and I can almost promise you that the devil is whooping them all to pieces. Because that's been true in my life in the past. I may not speak for you, but I can speak for me. There is something restorative and preventative and empowering and passionate about coming together in the house of the Lord. Number one, we said, we can learn from David. Focus on God, not my fear. Excuse me. We can learn number two, we can practice consistent fellowship with God. I think I need other passages to assert this, but I think I can stand this up. David was an excellent warrior because he was faithful to the house of God. And you mark it down. When David got out of being in the house of God, he got in all kind of trouble. And it was fast, too. He was faithful to the house of God. And number three, if you're in your text there, look one more time. Excuse me. If you're in your text, look again. Verse number 11. Live right. Live right. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain, simple path because of my enemy. Lead me in a plain, simple path. Live right. Live right. You ever heard anybody make excuses for something that was awful and wrong? Anybody besides me? We ran all these young people. I was watching, it was two or three groups where we were at, where they were doing go-karts and laser tag and all this kind of stuff, and they were there, and I was trying to do little things, get my mind on service today. I was watching this couple of kids. They weren't our group. They could have been in our group though, but they weren't. I watched this kid come up behind this other kid. It'd be like Kelly and Sierra, and it's like Kelly came up behind Sierra, and I never did figure out what they had in their hand. I don't know if it was one of those coupon books, you know, that are all over Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. You know, I don't know if it was one of those, but they had something rolled up, and they walked up behind them and just whack in the back of the head. And they were much younger. And the kid turned around and said, "What did you do that for?" And the kid looked right in the eye and said, "I didn't do anything." And I'm thinking, that's a psychopath. And at least a sociopath. What do you mean? And I'm wanting to stand up and go, "I saw you. You're the only one there. The camera saw you. And go to the video if we need to." And the girl said, "Well, if you didn't do it, who did it?" And I'm thinking, she hit her so hard she knocked all the common sense out of her head. It's obvious who did this. She got the rolled up thing in her hand. She's sitting there smirking at you. But her first instinct was to lie. How many of you know people's first instinct's to lie? Couldn't tell the truth. Just hard as it can be. I'm terrified for young people whose first instinct is to lie. And I am mortified for adults whose first instinct is to lie. Let me live and do what's right. When you make excuses for profanity come out of your mouth, God, help me do what's right. When you make excuses for awful behavior, help me do what is right, sinful behavior. David said what? Lead me in a plain, simple path. Jimmy Stewart's the one credited with saying this, the actor of bygone days, said, "Always tell the truth. You don't have to remember anything, but you have to remember every lie." Lead me in a plain path. I want to be faithful to God and God's house. That's what David said. He said, "I owe my credit and my success that I am here. I am here. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there with the people of God and sing the praises to God and worship in the power of God and experience the very presence of God." Say, that doesn't sound much like a soldier. That sounds like a perfect soldier to me. It sounds like the warrior way. Some of you, man, you're going to put on your hard hat and your helmet and you're going to get ready and you're going to go out, and it's not going to be easy at home and it's not easy at work. And David here says, this is what I want you to understand. This is how it is. We sometimes, I think we're in the halo polishing business. Look right at me, I'm done. Anybody sometimes ever get that vibe sometimes from church? Do you think that's what people think a church is? When I say halo polishing, everybody understand me? Really good people with very few problems come in and they kind of admire how good everybody else has it. And they talk about how simple their life is and don't have any problems. There might be a few people, but most of us are in here and we're just what? We're just shining up the old halo. How many of you think that's nowhere close to real life? How many of you think this life here requires a warrior mindset? How many of you think this life here requires some advice from people who've gone on before through the inspired pages of Scripture? And that if I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to need the help of Almighty God. Because it is hard. Because everybody else seems like they don't care. And if you try and do what's right, they got choice words for you. That's what he says at the end of the passage here. Family forsook them. And then people attacked them. Ravaged them and ravaged them. Let me help you. Because of the last part of the psalm, you really need the first part. I need you. Kimberly needs people praying for her. Dorothy needs people praying for her. Excuse me. Janie needs people praying for her. You need me. I need you. We need each other to come together and hold each other up and say, we're going to do it together. And God showed me a plain path. And I'm going to put on my spiritual armor now. That's this warrior way. There's a reason soldiers, I'm done, look at me. There's a reason going AWOL is so dangerous. AWOL acronym, American, British acronym, they're absent without leave. There's a reason that's not tolerated in training, even if it's just a joyride, because it is deadly. It is deadly in service, in the battlefield. To wander off without authorization is to invite capture by the enemy, becoming a propaganda piece, costing other soldiers their lives because they got to go try and rescue you, or even worse, you could be executed and used to spur on others who are desperate for the fame and the attention that the enemy wants to give those who would find a combatant who had just wandered off. Look right here. If you don't think that you're in absolute danger when you stay and stray from the people of God and the family of God and the house of God, I want to tell you, just like a lone sheep out is attacked by wolves, just like any scenario you want to pick out. I came home the other day, we'd accidentally left the back door wide open. I just about gave the house to Joji and Tommy. I came in and went, nothing was set, no alarm was on. The house had a nice breeze. I want my doors locked. I want the windows shut. Why? Because there's people I don't want in the house. Some of you need to decide right now, you know what, I've been out here wandering around getting shot at. I don't have any strength. I don't have any encouragement. I need to focus on God, not fear, not what could be or might be. I need to make sure I'm faithful to Him, consistent in my fellowship with Him. I've been away too long. I've been gone too long. I've been too unfaithful too long. I need to be with people of God. I need to be in the book of God and talking to the Son of God. And I need... God, help me live right. God, help me live right. God, help me live right. So those easy things to say, yep, and they're hard to do. Absolutely. I'm going to need God's help to do every one of those. And that's what David says. I get my help from the Lord. Would you pray with me right now? You've listened so well. Thank you. A little different kind of veterans message, but I'm telling you, this psalm has been food for me. And exactly what I need. I wouldn't embarrass anybody today. I wouldn't call on you, but maybe you need to come. There's something you need to pray about. Maybe there's a situation, a particular thing. Maybe you want to come and give God praise. He's answered prayer in many of your lives in the past 2 weeks. I know you're thankful. Boy, I give you that opportunity. Maybe you're praying for someone that you don't know is a Christ follower, but you want to make sure that they know their sins have been forgiven. Maybe a family situation, a marital situation, relationship. I don't have any idea. Maybe you just want to come and pray. And God, help me to be focused on you. Help me to be getting my strength from you. Help me to be faithful to you and to your house and to your worship. Whatever it is. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you've got what we call a besetting sin. Maybe it's some habit that has locked you up. You need to give that habit, that speech pattern to the Lord. You need to give that to Him.